stay home on Monday night. But I'm glad you're here. I am. Thank you for coming. Let me encourage you. Ask God to give you a burden for somebody, to put somebody on your heart. You can reach out to them, bring to revival, see them saved. They become your very best friend. I was at a church in Michigan, very unusual. The pastor is a fine young man, and we're sitting on the platform one night. He said, "See that couple in the back row on the right?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "That is my mother. That is not my father." I said, "Okay, I got it." Now I said, look at the couple in the back row on the left." I said, "Okay." He said, "That is my father. That is not my mother." Let me tell you what happened. He said, "My mom went to my dad and said, 'I'm through, I'm breaking up, I'm getting a divorce.' So my dad got upset about that, made a bomb, was going to blow up the guy's car. But the guy helped him make the bomb panic, called the police, said my real dad spent 5 years in prison because he's going to blow up my mom. He got out of prison. Guess what? While he was in prison, his mom got saved. He got out of prison, he got saved. Those two couples," he said, "are the very best friends in the church. They go out to eat together. They go on vacation together. They know what that is? That's called the grace of God. That's it right there, really. And God can do that. He can do that in someone you know. Maybe there's someone you don't like. You don't like them because of their filth and their, but God can change that person. We forget that Christianity changes people. We might as well lock the door, buddy. If any man be in Christ, he's a... That's right, a new creature. And that's Bible truth, and it works today. I want to encourage you. Hey, ask somebody to in revival you don't think will come. Test God. Do it. You might be surprised who comes this week, hears the gospel, and gets saved. Look in your Bible, John chapter number 7. John chapter number 7. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter number 7. I'll begin reading with verse number 37. John 7:37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But thus spake he of the Spirit, that we say that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." John chapter 7 is called the Feast of Tabernacles, one of the three feasts so important in the eyes of God, every adult male Jew was required to go all the way back to Jerusalem and celebrate that feast. Why? It brought to memory the time when the children of Israel spent 40 years in the wilderness. They would come back. It was a time of great religious excitement, but the key day was the last day. The last day, the priest would take a vessel around the temple, down the pool of Siloam, fill it full of water, pour it on the altar, commemorating the time when God gave water out of the rock to satisfy his people's thirst. One man said this, "There was so excitement, ecstasy, earth fills, that you attended the Feast of Tabernacles." The Jews jump up and down, clap their hands, holler, "Glory to God." This is a time of intense religious emotion. But wait, Jesus is there. And Jesus saw it was a temporary religious fix. Next day, the water would be gone off the altar, temporarily fixed would be gone. And Christ is so moved, so stirred, he does two things. Number one, first of all, it says there in verse number 37, that Jesus stood. It may shock him. Many times when Christ taught, he sat. Here the Bible says, he jumped to his feet. There's more. Read your Bible now. The next verse. Verse number 39. It says, verse number 37 again. He stood, what else? He cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He shall be upon me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Here's what Christ said. "I got something better for you in temporary religious fix. I'll put somebody inside. You will bring happiness and power and victory." And that someone is the Holy Spirit of God. Let me emphasize, every believer is indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says, "Any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his." Understand that. When you got saved, friend, in essence, you became a motel. How come? Because the Holy Spirit moved inside of you. Tonight, as I look on this crowd, I see a great number of motels out there. I see some motels, you need a new roof on top, that's for sure, amen. I see some motels, I still let this in there. I said this in, brother, amen. I see some motels, perhaps, have plumbing problems. I'm not going there, but what about I say? You got saved, Holy Spirit come to live inside of you. Now, hear me. The text I read tonight does not refer to the indwelling. It refers to the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. What does it mean to be Spirit-filled? Three times in your Bible, God makes a comparison between a drunken man and a Spirit-filled man. How come? I was a boy growing up. Television was just coming in. We were so poor, we couldn't afford one. Normally, 4 to 6 nights a week, I'd go with Grandpa down the tavern. I go down there, I'd watch television, buy me hamburgers, buy me Cokes. Sometimes I'd get Grandpa home, put him to bed. Now, during this time, I made a great discovery. When somebody's drunken, a tremendous change. When somebody gets drunken, some skinny guy comes in, all of a sudden he gets drunk, he gets loud. Hey, what? He's ready to rumble. Why? The liquor. Okay? Some big guy comes in, says the bar, weeps and sobs. Why? My friend, when someone is drunken, a tremendous change occurs. Dear friend, you become a Holy Ghost Christian, there'll be changes in your life, changes in your conduct. Read the book of Acts. No money, no building, no upright echelon people. One thing they did have is they were filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and all hell couldn't stop them. The greatest need of the church today is what? The filling of the Holy Spirit of God. Look at your Bible, please. Look carefully at verse number 38. Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said." What Scripture? Had to be the Old Testament Scripture. Bring your Bible tonight. Ezekiel chapter 47, please. Ezekiel chapter number 47. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 47. We find an Old Testament prophecy of the New Testament filling of the Holy Spirit of God. Ezekiel chapter number 47. Now, leave your Bible when you found there. Ezekiel 47. Look, if you would please, at verse number 1. In verse 1 of Ezekiel 47. Afterward, he brought me again under the door of the house. Now, what's the typology here? They come to the house, that's a temple. New Testament terms. What know ye not, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. This is a type of the Spirit-filled life. Look in your Bible again. Read on down. And behold, water shall shoot out on the threshold of the house. In the New Testament, water speak of the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. Here it is. Read further, please. They shall come on the threshold of the house eastward. For from the house stood toward the east, waters came down on the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Number one, first of all, the mysterious source of this thing. What do I have to do to be a Spirit-filled Christian? What is necessary to be a powerful, victorious, Christ-glorifying, Spirit-filled Christian? Number one, first of all, my friend, you must be a humble individual. Look at that verse. Where did water come from? Under the threshold. What's a threshold? It's what you walk on. Question. Are you willing to be walked on for Jesus Christ? Willing to be laughed at for Jesus Christ? Willing to be made fun of and thought strange and odd for Jesus Christ? My friend, you'll never be Spirit-filled until you're willing to humble yourself and be controlled and empowered, regardless of what people say, by the power and the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. Is so important. We're more concerned about public opinion than you are about God's opinion today. My friend, to be a Spirit-filled Christian, you have to be a humble individual. Bible, thus saith the high and lofty one, inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. God said, I dwell in a high and holy place with him also, is of a humble and a contrite spirit, to revive the heart of the humble, revive the spirit of the contrite one. Don't miss it. Four times, God said, you're ever going to be Spirit-filled. You have to die to self. You have to be a humble individual. Number one, to be Spirit-filled, you must be a humble individual. Number two, to be Spirit-filled, you must desire to be a holy individual. Now, look at your Bible. Top of your page there, you find a man's name. The name you find is Ezekiel. Why is that significant? 127 times in the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel is called by a certain title. Here it is. He is called Son of Man. Why is this significant? Luke 19:10, referring to himself, Jesus said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That verse says this, Old Testament prophet, he was called the Son of Man. Ezekiel said, Jesus came, he was called the Son of Man. Here's the point, Christ said, I'm not ashamed, I'm not embarrassed, I don't have to blush. I'm not disgraced. He was called the Son of Man, Old Testament, Man of God. He said, I'm a New Testament Son of God, but I'm not embarrassed to be called by the same name he was called by. Question, if Christ was called by your name, because of your language, your attitude, would Christ be embarrassed? Would he blush? Get Old Testament prophet, lived so godly, that my Jesus said, I'll be called by the same name he was called by. Because he was a holy man of God. I went to Pennsylvania to hold a revival, a wonderful church out there, and I arrived in town, first time I was there, what a sure time the Sunday school was, I got there 45 minutes early. I'm in the restroom, a guy walked in and said, "Hey Bob, how you doing?" I said, "Yeah, I'm doing fine, you know." I walked out the door, a woman walked by and said, "Bob, you're looking good today, good to see you, Bob." I said, "Thank you, ma'am." Before I'm in Pastor Burgraff, come to the altar there. Five people had called me Bob. Okay, now, I got all these strange things going through my mind. Maybe they thought my name was Bob. It gets scary, Fred. It gets scary. I mean, these people think I'm from the South, and my name is Joe Bob Mark. That is scary stuff, amen. That's scary stuff. I'll do that right now. Yeah. Before I met Pastor Burgraff, all these people called me Bob. I met Pastor Burgraff down to the altar. "Yeah, how you doing, Brother Mark?" I said, "Horrible." I said, "Pray for me. I'm having an identity crisis. All these people are calling me Bob." He started laughing and said, "Brother Mark, you won't believe this. The guy in our church looks exactly like you. We're down there talking." He said, "Turn around. Look down the center aisle." I turned around. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. I saw a man coming down the center aisle, kind of a cross between Mr. Universe, Mr. America, the handsomest, most athletic guy I ever saw in my entire life. I said, "Preacher, I know who that is. That's got to be Bob." And I was right. Question: do you ever remind anybody of Jesus Christ? Paul said that Christ may be manifest, may be seen in my body. Down south, they talk about heartfelt religion. They want to say amen, they say amen. They want to shout glory, they shout glory. Hear me, Christ talks about eyeball Christianity. Christianity your co-worker can see. Watch it. It gets heavy. Christianity your spouse can see. Christianity on the job when things go bad. Everybody's in bad language. Everything goes to pot. They can see and say, "That guy's different. That guy's got something." My friend, God help us to live in such a way it will glorify Jesus Christ. The key there, Ezekiel was a holy man of God. Why is the Holy Spirit called the Holy Spirit? Because it's His desire to produce holiness in your life. And thank God He can do that if we'll let Him. Number one, the mysterious source of the river. First of all, humble individual. Number two, holy individual. Number three, a heated individual on fire for God. Open your Bible, please. Verse number one, the last phrase, at the south side of the altar. Open your Bible again. Go up there. Verse one, afterward he brought me again under the door of the house. Behold, water issued out under the threshold of the house eastward. What's that word? Eastward. Eastward. That's how significant. The sun rises in the east. Our source of heat comes from the east. Here it is, friend. The spirit-filled life is not something you work up. Having concern, having a degree of emotion, is not something you work up. It's a result of being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Bible says, they're filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. Time and time again in your Bible. Holy Spirit is referred to as fire at Pentecost. Cloven tongues of fire. Jesus said, "I'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire." My friend, a spirit-filled Christian has zeal. He has fervor. He goes out and spreads the gospel. In the book of Acts, every time you read that phrase, filled with the Holy Spirit, every time with maybe one exception, every time you read it, what they do? They went out and witnessed and tried to get somebody saved. Say, "Preacher, that's just not my thing." That's God's thing. And that better be your thing. And it can be your thing. That's one purpose of the filling of the Holy Spirit, is to give you power and anointing and boldness to go out and shake the gates of hell and share the gospel and see people come and accept Jesus Christ. Number one, first of all, the mysterious source of the river. Number two, the marked course of the river. Where does this river flow? Look in your Bible. First of all, it flows to the depressed places. Look in your Bible at verse number 8. It flows to the depressed places. Verse 8. Then said he unto me, "These waters issue out toward the east country, and go unto the desert, and go unto the sea, which being brought forth under the sea, the waters shall be healed." The flows, first of all, my friend, to the depressed places. What's he referring to? the Dead Sea. You say, so what? Here's so what. The lowest point on planet Earth is the Dead Sea. Notice, when the water flows there, things are changed. Maybe you're down in the dumps. Maybe you're depressed, discouraged. What's the answer? Is there an answer? There is. My friend, the answer to a discouraged Christian is the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. Here, Ephesians 5. Be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The next verse, don't miss it. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Five times, God, who is no liar, said, a spirit-filled Christian has an inward happiness. Your Bible says they're filled with the Holy Ghost and joy. The average Christian has it all wrong. Boy, if I dedicate my life to God, I'll be wretched. Boy, I'll never be happy. When I get old, I won't have smile lines. Boy, the most miserable life I can think of is serving God. You need to lie out of hell. The happiest Christians I know are the Christians that serve God. You ought to try it and get that reality in your life. A spirit-filled Christian, my friend, has a wonderful, wonderful inward happiness that the world knows nothing at all about.
Amen.
I was flying out of Peoria, Illinois, 40 miles from home. I got up and drove there, walked in the airport, went to the desk, and said, where are you going? I told him. He said, guess what? I said, what? He said, the flight's been canceled. I got there at 8 o'clock in the morning. He said, the flight is not till 7 o'clock tonight. I said, okay. I said, well, I'll just drive back home and take my wife out to breakfast. So I called her and said, you got any money? She said, yeah. I said, take me out to breakfast. I'm coming home. So I come home and we went to, about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the phone rang. I picked it up. A boy said, is this Joe Mark? I said, yes, sir. He said, this is the airport. I said, yes, sir. He said, you got an hour to make it. There's been a change. The last plane goes out in an hour. Now, I want to tell you about the grace of God. Can I do that, please? Bloomington to Peoria is about 50 miles, okay? Drive that 50 miles. It took 37 minutes. Isn't God good, brother? Isn't God good to us? Amen. Amen. Don't get upset. Elijah went to heaven in a whirlwind. I went to Peoria in a Chrysler 300. Amen. Praise God. Okay. I got there. I walked in. The guy's behind the counter. He said, guess what? I said, don't tell me it's canceled. I'll kill you. He said, oh, no. It's not canceled. It's going to be a half hour late. I said, hey, no problem. I got books. I'm sitting there reading a book. A guy came and sat across from me, him and his wife, and turned to his wife and said, honey, you better go to the restroom, and when you get back, I'll go. I said, okay. She left, and the guy said, what are you reading? I said, I'm reading a book about revival. Come over here. I'll tell you about it. He came over and sat down. I said, revival is this, when God moves in somebody's life. Let me ask you a question. I said, are you a Christian? He said, I used to be. I said, that's unusual. You used to be. Yeah. He said, I used to be. He said, I got saved years ago. My wife also. So we went to church three times a week. We went calling. So she sang in the choir. So we were active. He said, then something came in our life and we lost it all. He said, yeah, I used to be saved. He said, but no more. He said, I've lost it. And I don't know who you're talking to, but they were an idiot. I said, God knows English, okay? And God said, when you get saved, you have everlasting life. How long is that for? Well, I guess forever, yeah. Yeah. I said, don't guess. You memorize any Bible? Oh, yes, I memorize the Bible. What do you think is the greatest verse in the Bible? Oh, I remember, he said. I remember. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Stop. Say that next to the last phrase, should not perish. What does that mean? Sounds like it means you don't go to hell. That sounds pretty good. Go on, what's that? Have what kind of life? Everlasting. How long is that for? I guess forever. I said, okay. So one time you got saved, and you think you lost it. He said, yeah, I lost it. I said, where are you going? He said, well, eventually we're going to San Francisco. I said, well, I said, I've been there. It's an okay place. I said, how come you're going there? He said, well, he said, my wife worked at a hospital. I had a good position. He said, if you're in Illinois, all the finances are collapsing. This is the headquarters, he said, of Caterpillar. I'm an engineer. Graduated number one in my class. I can't find a job. He said, here's what we're going to do. We sold our house, got some money. We're going to San Francisco, get a nice motel, eat at the best restaurants. When the money's gone, we're going to commit suicide. Life's not worth living. We're going to blow our brains out, and that's it. I said, buddy, you're going the wrong direction. If you really got saved one day, You know, there's joy there you don't have now. Yeah. You don't have that joy. I said, don't blame me. His wife come back and said, honey, you better go get up and left. She said, yeah. I said, where are you going? She said, San Francisco. Man, I said, I bet you have a great time. She said, no, we're not. We're going to kill ourselves. I said, what? Yeah. I said, tell me how come. She said, I had a great position at the hospital. She said, this town is going busted. I got fired. Not because of my work, she said, but I can't find a job here. So my husband's a great engineer. He can't find a job. So we sold our house. We got our savings out. We're going to San Francisco. We're going to eat it up, live it up. She said, when the money's gone, we're jumping off the bridge or blowing our brains out. I said, let me ask you a question. Did you ever accept Jesus Christ? Same story. Yes, we did, sir. I did. Said, ma'am, we went to church. Said, I went on visitation. I was involved in the ladies' ministry. He said, we just served God hard. He just said, something come in and we quit. So when you quit, you lost your salvation. Yeah. When you quit, God said, well, I'm through with you, right? Yeah. No, I said, you're wrong. I said, back to the same Bible study. John 3:16, remember that? Oh, yeah. She said, I learned that little girl. Quote it to me. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believeth in him, should not perish. Stop. Should not what? Perish. What does that mean? That's strange. It sounds like it means you don't go to hell. I said, that sounds pretty good to me, okay? What else does it say? Has everlasting life. How long is everlasting? She said, it's forever. I said, you got it. I said, ma'am, you don't need to go out there and commit suicide. You need to get your heart right with God. Man comes to me, I said, here's what I want you. I said, you only want to go out there and say, preacher, we're miserable. We fight all the time. I said, you know why? You got away from God. I said, you need to get right with God. She started crying. I said, okay, this is what I want you to do. Get over there in that corner of the airport and just pray and confess to God and get it right with God. I said, you don't need to get saved. You need to rededicate your life. The most of us crying. They went over and knelt down in the airport. Just knelt down there. They're weeping and sobbing and drooling and all that. And they come back and they sit. This is great. They sit 2 seats ahead of me on my right on the airplane, okay? The airplane took off. I'm reading. I looked up. I'd share something with you. Suicide was not on their mind, okay? Yeah. He had his arm around her. They're hugging and smooching. I don't know what else. But anyway, man, I'll tell you, hey, when I saw that, I wanted to rededicate my life again. Amen. I'll tell you that right now. Yeah, I'll tell you, man. They're just having a big time. Had the plane pulled to pull down pretty soon. And I started to leave, and they're standing there. I went up and said, folks, you made my day. They're just weeping. They said, preacher, you made our life. She said, you're right. Jesus Christ, he gave us salvation free, and it's ours forever. And I hugged them when they left. Now, wait. Why were they miserable? Because they got away from God. Yeah. Read the book. Yeah. You'll never find a happy backslider. Never. Yeah. And my friend, what you need to do is just get your heart right with God, get filled with the Holy Ghost, and let God use you to touch somebody else's life. First of all, this river flows to the depressed places. Number two, this river flows to the desert places. Now, what's in the desert? It's exciting, isn't it? Sand. Wow. Huh? Cactus. Boy. It could be exciting. There are snakes in the desert. All right? Now, wait. When you think of a desert, what do you think of? I think of it's dry. Can I ask you a question? Come on, don't lie. Is your Christian life kind of dried up? Your love for the Bible's gone. Your desire to pray is evaporated. You come to God's house, thank God you haven't quit. As long as you come, God can use His Word to revive you. But you know there was a time you were closer to God than you are tonight. But I got good news for you tonight. God wants to revive, and God wants to restore. He does that one way, through the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. Turn your Bible back to Romans chapter 7. I love this. Romans chapter 7. Now, Romans chapter 7 was written by the Apostle Paul. When Paul wrote Romans, he had been saved somewhere between 20 and 25 years. When Paul wrote Romans 7, he had a pretty good repertoire. He'd been caught up in the third heaven and seen Christ, raised people from the dead, seen thousands of people saved. Romans chapter 7, Paul said this, when I go back and I try to live for God in my power instead of God's power, I fall flat on my spiritual face. Look in your Bible. Romans chapter 7, look please, at verse 15. Here's the mighty Apostle Paul saying, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. What I hate, that do I." Here's what Paul said. Man, the good things I want to do don't get done. Evil things I don't want to do. That's exactly what I do. Understand, this is not a rookie Christian. Here's the great Apostle Paul saying, man, when I try to live for God in my power, I failed. Up on down, please. Look at verse number 19. He repeats it. For the good that I would, I do not. Evil which I would not, that I do. The same thing, man. I want to live for God, and I'm not doing it. Why, Paul? Look on down. Look at verse 24. Here's a good sign that Paul was saved. Oh, wretched man that I am. There it is. Well, I just said, you never find a happy backslider. You go out, live like the world, act like the world, sin like the world, talk like the world, never bothers you, you're not saved. Backsliders are not happy. David had everything. He had the babe, he had Bathsheba, he had the bank, he had the money, he had a position, he was king. And he cried out and said, restore, I've lost it, restore unto me. My friend, listen to it. You'll never be happy until you come and get right with God. Is that simple right there? So here we are. Now, read your Bible, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. When I go, I'm sorry, go back to verse 24 of Romans 7. Oh, wretched man that I am. Look at the next word. Who? When Paul said who, here's what he said. Somebody's got to help me. On my own, I'm no match for the world, the flesh, the devil. Who can make me the Christian I want to be? Who can? Look in your Bible. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Last word is Spirit. Verse number 2. For the law of the Spirit. Verse number 4. The last word is Spirit. Verse number 5. Two times he refers to the Holy Spirit. Look down, please. Verse number 9. Again, three times in one verse he mentions the Holy Spirit. Again, look at your Bible. Verse 10. The Spirit is life. Verse number 11. The Spirit that dwelleth in you. Verse number 13. Ye through the Spirit do mortify. That means kill the deeds of the body. Verse 14. Males are led by the Spirit. Verse 15, you have received the Spirit. Verse 16, the Spirit itself. Paul said, hey, how can I live for God? How can I serve God? How can I be the Christian I really want to be? Then he cries out in this chapter, I think it's 15 times. He said, on my own, I can't, but thank God. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, I can be everything that Jesus Christ wants me to be. Your Bible says, walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The great need of our Christianity today, my friend, is very simple, is Spirit-filled Christians. A coach in high school had a player. A coach in college had a player. He was going to go scout out some high school football players, and one of his players wanted to be a coach. He said, son, you want to go with me? He said, yeah, I'll go with you. He said, well, let's talk about football and figure out the kind of football players we need to get. They're driving down. The coach said, now, son, there are all kinds of football players out there. Some football players, you hit them real hard, they'll fake an injury and leap off. They're quitters. So we don't want those. He said, you're right. Halfway, he said, there are some football players, you knock them down, they get up. You drive in the dirt, they get up, hit them hard again. They won't quit, but they'll just kind of back up and not stand their ground. We don't want those, so you're right. Now, he said, there are some football players, you knock them down, they get up. You hit them hard, they get up. Drive in the dirt, they get up. Jump on them, they get up. The boy said, coach, that's the kind of guy we want. Coach said, no! We want the guy doing the knocking down. Yeah. Glory to God. Hear your Bible. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That's what God can make out of you. Another sound of the great of Christianity. More than a conqueror. You can trample on the flesh, the world, the devil, and live and exalt Jesus Christ. Not your own power. You know that. You failed. Why don't you do it God's way and become Spirit-filled and live for him and serve him? Go back to Ezekiel 47 and I'm through. In closing, the mighty force of the river. The mighty force of the river. Look at your Bible at verse number 9. It's come to pass, everything that liveth and moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. Remember what Jesus said? He that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow. Get ready for a blessing. Rivers of living water. Rivers. Think of the power of rivers. 2 years ago we had floods. Concrete railroad embutment stood for 150 years, swept away. Buildings swept downstream. Cars, anything in its way, it just sweeps downstream. Now watch it, watch it. Hope you didn't miss what Jesus said. He that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow, don't miss it, please, rivers, that's plural, glory to God, rivers, that's plural, power. When you're a spirit-filled Christian, you've got power to live in victory, power to sweep people into the kingdom of heaven. When you're a spirit-filled Christian, again, look at your Bible down, verse number 9. There should be a very great multitude of fish. What's that refer to? Carp? I don't think so. Bass? Definitely not. What kind of fish is Jesus, Ezekiel talking about? Here he is. Jesus said it, buddy. If you don't like it, talk to him. Jesus said, follow me, and I'll make you. You can't excuse it. You can't escape it. You can't detour around it. He said, I'll make you to become fishers of men, and that is soul winning. Friend, if you're not fishing, save your breath, you're not following Jesus. It's that simple. I'll repeat something I said in the New Testament. Book of Acts, every time they're filled with the Holy Ghost, what they do? They went out and witnessed. That is the key to Christianity, the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. I was down in a Homosassa Springs, Florida, about 5 years ago now, and a beautiful day. I went down there in January. Amen. You got to make those sacrifices. I'll tell you something, folks. It's not easy going to Florida in January. The bugs bite you. You sweat and perspire. It's a horrible snake. But somebody's got to sacrifice to serve the Lord, so I went to Florida in January, okay? Now, I'm down there, ready? 85 degrees at 9:30 in the morning. I live in Illinois. Back home, it was 22 below. You say, your poor wife. Never say that, buddy. Never say that. I take care of my woman. I'll tell you that right now. I did. Before I left to go to Florida, I went to the gas station. I bought my wife 5 gallon of premium grade gasoline for that snowblower. Buddy, don't tell me I don't know how to feed a woman. I do, okay? So here I am. I'm down there. Beautiful day. I'm typing letters. I got the door open. I heard a voice. Hey, bright face. Get out of there. What's happening? I look up. There's a woman scantily clothed in my doorway. And she said, bright face. Filthy, filthy word. Bright face. Get out of there. I saw a little white dog run to her. She picked it up and looked at me and said, what are you doing? I wanted to say, it's none of your stinking business. I said, ma'am, I'm typing letters. I'm enjoying your wonderful weather down here. Thank you for sharing it. Oh, she said, I got to go. Got the dog and left. Next day, I'm typing letters again. Heard again. Hey, blank face, get out of there. I was hoping the dog was back in my room, and there he was. The cute little guy just ran around. He went to her. She picked him up, looked at me, and said, you're strange. What do you do? I said, glory to God. Thank you for asking. I'm a Baptist evangelist. I go all over America. I tell people the two greatest things I'll ever hear. Number one, Jesus Christ can change your life and your filthy language right here, right now, if you'll accept him. Number two, when you die, you're going to hell unless you say, I'm God. You got the dog and left, okay? After service Thursday night, Pastor Coates, his wife, and I went out to get something to eat. We come back to the motel. He let me out just as she pulled in the Jeep. What happened? Her and her husband had been flooded out. The insurance company put him in the hotel in the room next to me. She hopped out and I said, hey, how you doing? She said, stinking rotten. She said, can I talk to you? I said, I'd love to talk to you, believe me. I said, get your husband, come on over. She said, I don't know if he'll come. I said, okay, here's the deal. Now listen carefully. Here's the deal, ma'am. I want you to come. It was an old Holiday Inn. The front end is all glass, all glass. I said, if you'll come over, the deal is this. Leave the curtain wide open, the door wide open, but really, I want to talk to you. So we'll see. 45 minutes later, she walked in the room, still on the couch. Okay, I said, how can I help you? She said, you can't. She said, I married that guy right next door. She said, he's good looking. He loves me with all of his heart. He's the greatest husband in the world, she said, but I can't be true to him. Every time some idiot comes along, she said, I wound up in bed with him. I'm such a fool. I got the world's greatest husband, and I can't be true. She said, twice I've been through Alcoholics Anonymous, the whole thing. On a good day, she said, I drink a pint of gin. Things bottle up, he said. She said, I drink 2 pints. Says, killing me. So what? Nothing to live for. I don't care. Then she said, look. And I'm like that. I looked. Each wrist. 3 deep, dark, ugly scars. She said, Mister, 3 times I hit bottom. I mean bottom. 3 times I took a knife, cut through the skin, the veins, all the way to the bones. She said, I'm such a failure. I can't even commit suicide. Could anybody help me? I need help. I said, I know just the guy. I said, I can't help you. I'm sorry. There's not a pastor in here town can help you. But I know who can. And his name is Jesus Christ. She said, how? I opened my Bible, showed her how to get saved. I said, I'm going to ask you a question, okay? You've been drinking. Sure I have. I said, you understand what I told you? She said, listen, buddy, I'm no rookie. I hold my liquor well. I understand everything you told me. I said, okay, what are you going to do? She said, what's what you said? Here it is. She got it. She said, I'm going to accept him. Thank God she didn't say I'm going to get it. No, she said, I'm going to accept him. We prayed, she accepted Christ. This morning I'm packing my car. My wife and her parents are coming down, and I got about 4 days off to spend with my wife. And after packing my car, I'm going to check out before noon, save the church hotel bill. She pulled in the Jeep. Hey, I said, how you doing? She said, strange. What? Strange. She said, tell me about it. She said, I just took my husband to work. Driving him back, she said, I counted him. I drove by 11 different liquor stores and wasn't even thirsty. She said, I'm going to die. She said, I didn't want anything to drink. She said, this being saying stuff is strange. She said, before the first liquor store, I stopped and got a little one. She said, but I didn't want to stop. Then she said this. She said, coming back for your husband to work, I realized somewhere I lost my wedding ring. She said, now, you never believe this, but normally I would have just cussed up a storm. I didn't tell her this, but I would have believed that. Believe me, I would have believed that. She said, you know what I did? I said, no, what? She said, I'm driving down the road and I'm praying. I said, Lord Jesus, thank you for saving me last night. Lord, I lost my wedding ring. I'd like to have it back. If I don't, that's okay. But thank you again for saving me. I said, preacher, I prayed twice in my life. Last night and driving back. She said, this Christianity is strange. Then she said this. Get ready to say amen. By the way, she said, I changed the name of my dog. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. I said, what'd you call him? Did you call him Spot? If you say you understand women, you're a liar. That's all I said. You want to call him Spot? She starts crying, weeping and sobbing. And pretty soon she looked up and said, no. But after last night, I could have called him and me both spotless.
Amen.
Because I just feel so clean inside. That's what it does. That's what it does. If you're away from God, it'll do that for you. You know unsaved people, you can help with the gospel. Don't hide it. Be brave about it. Share it. And let God use you to touch somebody else. And fulfill their life and change their destiny because you were filled with the Holy Spirit. Bow your head for prayer. 2 questions. Number one, if you were to die tonight, do you know you'd go to heaven? You say, well, I want to. I didn't ask that. You can. No. Your Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. You might know that you have eternal life. You got it? You can know you're going to heaven. How? Not by church membership, not by denomination, not by baptism, not by dedication, by salvation, by accepting Christ as your Savior. If you were to die tonight and this date was chiseled on your tombstone, do you know you'd be in heaven? You say, I can't honestly say that. Would you let me pray for you? I won't point you out. I won't drag you down an aisle. Say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. But I want to be. I know I need to be. Pray for me. Could I just see your hand right now? Lift it up. Let me see it. Put it down. I'll wait 10 seconds. When you're in hell, all the prayer of the universe can't get you out, friend. Anybody? 5 seconds. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Pray for me. Up and right back down. Anybody else? Okay, thank you. Now I'm talking to Christians. I'm talking to Christians tonight. You go from defeat to defeat to defeat. You go to depression. You go to discouragement. You're about ready to quit. You say, I can't overcome. No, you can't, but God can, and the Holy Ghost can. What you need, my friend, is the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. Preacher, I'm a spiritual coward. I'm afraid to witness. You know why? You're not spiritual filled. Spirit filled. Spirit filled Christians are bold in their witness. It's not your personality. It's the Holy Ghost that causes you to witness. Brother Mark, what do I have to do to be a spirit filled Christian? Number one, first of all, confession of past failure. You must confess to God. On my own, I've tried. On my own, I've failed. I failed. On my own, I didn't make it. I can't do it. I must there be confession. Number two, there must be desperation. Jesus said, I'll pour water on him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. Thirst is such a strong desire. Men have been known in battle to risk their life to go to a river and get a drink of water. It's that strong. You sit there in that seat and said, I like the message. I can take it or leave it. You'll never, never have it. Never have it. And someday you'll stand with the coffin of a friend in hell because you didn't think you needed the filling of the Holy Spirit. Number three, by faith. Not by experience, not by tongues, no. By faith, there's appropriation. Receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by faith. There it is, by faith. You confess your sin. You got that desire in your heart. And plead with God. Say, God, I need it. I want it. You offered it. I take it. Fill me, God. That will change your life. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, the greatest need of Heritage Baptist Church is Spirit-filled Christians. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed tonight, he will say, preacher, I'm a Christian. But God spoke to my heart tonight. I need, I long, I want what you preached about tonight. Preacher, I'm a Christian. God spoke to my heart. I need the filling of the Holy Spirit. Pray for me. Could I just see your hand right now? Up in the air and right back down. Let me see it. God bless you. God bless you. And you. And God bless you. And God bless you. And you. And you. And you. And you. And you. God bless you. There's some more. Anybody else? Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Anybody else? Preacher, pray for me. I need that in my life. Let me see your hand. Up and down. Anybody else? I'll wait 10 seconds. Good. I see it. Anybody else? Father, thank you. You didn't save us and abandon us. Thank you. You didn't save us and leave us on our own, unequipped. Thank you, Father, for the great indwelling and filling and ministry of the Holy Ghost. And God, I plead tonight for this great doctrine, get off the pages of the Bible and become manifest and real in our day-by-day life. Oh, God, change lives tonight. Heavenly Father, change the church tonight. Won't you sit there with your head bowed and your eyes closed? And then I'm going to have you stand. When I do, the instrument's going to play whatever she wants. Just stand when I have you stand with your head bowed and your eyes closed. If God's speaking to your heart, I want you to slip out and come to the altar. Your friend, my friend, God's friend, Dr. Shearer will be right there. You want some help? Tell him. I didn't see any hands for salvation. My friend, if you need to get saved, come and tell this wonderful man of God. You got the door, like you come in, you go home and yield to a habit. You don't have to. You go home and have a fight with your wife. You don't have to. What makes a difference? The filling of the Holy Spirit of God. You say, well, God spoke to my heart. I'm not coming. Hear me. When God speaks and you don't respond, it's not a no decision. You're guilty of two sins. Quenching the Holy Ghost. Think of it. He wants to make something out of you. You say, no, I'm not going to do it. Shame on you. Shame on you. If you're sincere, you really want what I preached about tonight, don't you wait on somebody else. You get out of that seat and come to the altar. Let's stand together. Shall we? Everybody standing right now. Stand up. Come on. Stand up. Stand up. If God's speaking, come on right now as you play. Come on. Shout out to God right now. Good. Good. Son of God. Amen. Good. Good. That's it. That's it. Amen. That's it. That's it. Come on. Get real. Get real. You got to humble yourself, sir. You can stand here in your stinking pride and miss the blessing. Come on. Who else is here tonight? Come on. Step out and go. Come on. It's for you. It's for everybody. Are you thirsty? Don't just stand there and thirst. Get out here. Get a fill. Get a fill. Come on. Who else? Who else? Come on. Who else? Many are praying. If you have a need, come ahead. Come ahead. Don't miss it, friend. Don't miss it. Don't miss the joy. Don't miss the power. Don't miss the victory. Come on. Get it tonight. Get it. That's good, son. It's for you. God bless you. God bless you, young man. That's good. That's good. Amen. Who else? Come on. Anybody else? Anybody else? There's still room for you. Come on. Pastor, take it.
We have time. We have time. Holy Spirit moving in your heart, do what He tells you to do. Because I promise you, it'll just get quieter and quieter and quieter, and He'll go away. And He'll say, I sure wish He'd move. Sure wish He'd move.
How about you? Come on, there's room. There's room. Come on. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While others are calling, do not pass me by. You're not waiting on God. God's waiting on you. Come on.
Realize it.